Hello and welcome to the Human Body Fundamentals Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Stoll. Each week, I speak with experts to learn the ins and outs of the human body. This podcast aims to bring forth informative conversations about why it is important to know the function of specific body parts, systems, and rhythms. We will also be covering common disorders and problematic conditions, as well as restorative treatments and procedures. I'm so glad you're here. Now let's get started. Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to learn about the anatomy and function of the cervical spine, as well as the very terrible yet very common disorder called tech neck. This episode, I'm interviewing my friend and personal chiropractor, Dr. Yariv Rothman. Dr. Rothman is the founder, director, and chief chiropractor at Santa Monica's Vitality Health Center. This is an integrative and functional medical clinic that provides physical therapy, internal medicine, chiropractic care, massage, Pilates, and more. Hard to believe there's more. But Dr. Rothman is a favorite doctor among all of his patients because of his unbeatable sense of humor and intelligence. He can and will explain everything you'd want and need to know. Welcome, Dr. Rothman, and thank you for joining me on this podcast.
Thank you for having me. I've been glad to be here.
Let's begin by talking about the anatomical structure of the cervical spine. So we know that the cervical spine has 7 vertebrae and then 6 vertebral discs in between. How else would you describe the structure of the cervical spine?
Well, when we look at the, like you mentioned, the 7 bones that make up the neck, okay, they're shaped in a particular arrangement or lined up in an arrangement similar to a backward C. That creates what we call a lordotic curve, which is very essential and important in distributing the weight of the head, which is about 10 to 12 pounds, directly over the center of the shoulders or our center of gravity. It's important to have that oriented that way because that decreases the stress or weight load of the head on the actual structures of the spine, as you were describing, such as the muscles, the ligaments, and tendons as well.
So we have a natural lordotic curve in the cervical spine. This is called cervical lordosis. And if we're looking at a side view of the neck and head, the head and face would be facing to the right, then the cervical spine also curves to the right. And in that case, it looks like a backward C. But also just as notable, the lordotic curve helps distribute the weight of the head to the body's center of gravity. This means that it reduces the amount of stress the body feels from the head's weight, and it reduces the stress on the neck and on the spine. So it's an important feature of the body. And before I forget, will you please go over the differences between ligaments and tendons?
So the ligaments are structures that support the joints. They connect the joints to each other and they provide stability. Muscles move the joints, and the muscles are attached to the bones through tendons. And those tendons shorten and the muscle shortens and extends, moving the different joints. That's how we turn our head. So we have muscles surrounding our neck, kind of like a tube, because our neck is like a tube. Our whole body is like really like a tube, if you think of it. Our arms are round like a tube, right? Muscles all the way around to provide it structural support, as well as maintain our eyes parallel to the ground for balance and allow us to move our head and our neck in different ways.
All right. So the ligaments connect bone to bone and the tendons connect the bone to muscle. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the muscles in the neck now. Maybe tell us about 4, 5, or 6 of the main neck muscles in the neck. There's like 26 of them. So let's just cover the most prominent or maybe the most like important ones that you find yourself working on and talking about with your clients when you're doing cervical spine or like neck work.
Well, the main muscles we talk about are, like, for example, the front muscles that we tend to see a lot when people turn is the sternocleidomastoid muscle or the SCM. You have the anterior or front muscles in the front of the spine called the scalenes. In the back of the spine, we have what we call the, underneath the head, the suboccipital musculature or muscles, and also the paravertebral muscles, which are muscles adjacent to the spine. And there's three different sets of those that connect to the back of the head and to the upper shoulders and help restore or maintain position of the head.
Great. Thank you for explaining those muscles. Let's pivot back to the lordotic curve in our cervical spine. Is it manageable to have a cervical spine without a lordotic curve? In other words, how important really is that we have cervical lordosis?
The importance of maintaining that curve allows us to remove a lot of the structural stress that naturally occurs with the weight of the head sitting on top of the neck. Gravity is pushing down on the head all the time. So that curve is there because that helps distribute that weight down a center of gravity. And an easy way for somebody to understand how the center of gravity is so important, if you take a 5-pound weight, for example, and hold it in your hand and hold it close to your chest, it'll feel very differently than if you take that 5-pound weight and extend your arm out in front of you. That weight would feel a lot heavier even though it has not changed. So that's similar to your head. If your head is 10 pounds and it moves forwards over your shoulders, such as when we're looking down on our phones or on our laptops repeatedly throughout the day for hours at some points, that starts to reverse that curve. If you maintain that way, you also sleep incorrectly with your head forward. You go home and lie on the couch and lift your head forward because you're leaning on the couch watching television. All of those actions are reversing that curve, and through time can actually create structural change and actually change the structure of the curve itself.
Okay, the posture you're talking about is the infamous forward head posture.
Yes, that's one of the terms we use, forward head posture, or we call it tech neck, because typically we see this in today's world because we're so involved in technology and using either tablets or laptops or our phones, and we're so connected to that all the time through social media and through other things we're doing on our phones all day long. That's creating that problem on forward head posture and tech neck.
Okay, you were just saying a moment ago that the motions, or more so the positions of forward head posture, reverse the curve in the neck, thereby changing the cervical spine structure to one that is straight and tilted. So visually speaking, this makes a ton of sense. If our heavy heads are pulling away from the curve, the spine is going to straighten. I do have a slightly deeper question though. Bear with me. So how do our muscles know how to react to these postural changes?
Okay, so when the head moves forward, one of the things we have to understand how our brain works is our brain receives a lot of information from our body. And all of the joints in our body have receptors in them. So you want to think of receptors like signaling nerves that tell the brain positionally or structurally where a joint is, or what pressure that joint has on it, or how that joint is moving or not. Okay? And these receptors, some of them are called mechanoreceptors, they give the brain mechanical information about what's happening with the joint. So when there's stress on the joint because of an altered head position, creating stress and strain on that joint, that joint sends signals to the brain, telling the brain that the joint is now under some stress, and the brain responds with contracting muscles or recruiting muscles to try to brace that area to create like a splinting mechanism. Because the brain cannot realign something that's out of alignment. It can only support something. So it uses the muscles to be very tight to support the structures. That's what causes that chronic tightness that you find people saying, oh, I hold all my stress in my neck, or I hold all my stress in my muscles. That's because there's chronic stress in the joints all the time.
That's very interesting. All right, so all joints have receptors in them, and they're basically little sensors that tell the brain what's happening to that joint. And all joints need support from muscles. So if we're in a poor posture, then that means the muscles that are supporting it are usually not the ideal muscles that should be supporting it. And I guess that's what gives poor posture its definition. It's not being supported correctly. All right. That makes a lot of sense.
Unfortunately, most people don't realize it's happening until it gets really advanced and they start having some structural change, or they start having some other issues that can be caused by structural change, like restricted movement or chronic pain or chronic muscle tension, even headaches, jaw pain, things of that nature can be caused by it as well.
Now, you developed a method that prevents forward head posture, and you named it the Vitality Method after your integrative medical center, the Vitality Health Center. So the word Vitality is an acronym, and each letter stands for a different step. Will you go over the steps within this method, please?
The first thing we look at is vision. So your line of sight of the screen should not be where your eye hits the top of the screen that you're looking at. That would cause you to some degree to look down into the middle of the screen a little bit. What I prefer is raising that screen up to actually to the point where your line of sight hits the top part of the bottom third of the screen. Because that will create two things. It'll create a need to have you sit up properly. And essentially, sitting up properly, keeping the low back curve the way that it should be, a nice backwards curve just like our neck, will prevent our shoulders from jutting forward and prevent us from slumping forward, and setting us up properly as we're sitting for our head to be in a neutral position. We want to inhale deeply as well. Really inhaling through our chest and extending our stomach to get as much air in. Because when we tend to sit badly, we slump down and we affect how we're breathing. We tend to breathe less. We breathe with the upper part of our lungs and not with our abdomen and really filling our lungs. Okay, the next thing we want to look at in vitality is T, the letter T. So we want to tuck our chin in a little bit. And we can do some of this in our car, for example. I recommend for people to sit in their car and tuck their chin, creating a double chin as they push their head slightly backwards against the headrest. That'll create a little bit of a exercise that will start creating some strengthening in the muscles, or help stretching them as well by doing this exercise, pushing your head against the headrest while you're creating a double chin. It'll tend to shift the spine in a backwards position.
Okay, so T for chin tuck-ins.
Next thing we talk about is aerobic exercise daily. So people have to move. We don't want to get complacent and sit down and get stiff and get tight, and our muscles don't really move well when we don't have a lot of flexibility. So we want to open up our chest. We want to do exercises that create more room in our opening our chest up, also strengthening our mid back, doing some aerobic exercise as well, clearing out all the chemicals that tend to sit around when we're sitting and being and not moving too much, getting some circulation going. The L in vitality is leaning back. So we want people to remember that they have to be sitting, almost leaning back a little bit in their chair, so that their back is supported properly, preventing their shoulders from rolling forward and their head from going forward. keeping your back arched, your head leaning back, will prevent that head from moving in that forward position.
Got it.
Okay. Stretching. For I, we want to implement stretches I discussed before and stretches and strengthening exercises. So that involves some exercises with the neck, which I show patients to do. Also, one of the simple things you can do at home that helps is if you happen to be on your computer or you're going to be on your computer for a while, put the computer on the floor, lay on your stomach, and use the computer that way. That creates the head going into naturally in a backward position because you have to look at your screen. And within about 20 minutes, you'll get a little tired doing that. And that's a good time to take a rest anyways. So it's a kind of a combination of an exercise and also a little indication of when you should maybe get up and take a quick rest. A 10-minute rest every 20 to 30 minutes would be very prudent. Okay. T is taking breaks. So get up. Change your sight, the line of sight. So when we stare at something for a long time, our muscles of our eyes change as well. They adapt to what we're looking at. So it's really good just to once in a while look down the hallway if you're working in an office, or look outside, look somewhere further out. So you change your gaze and that. And then the other thing is, you know, I understand so much how we're connected with each other and social media and glued to our phones and getting our messages and getting our texts and wanting to know what's happening with the world. But we want to try to yield from the temptation of always looking down at our phone. And so one of the things I have people do is I want people to, if they're looking at their phone, to hold their phone in their hands, and I have them bring their elbows, so they rest their elbows almost on their chest and belly when they're looking at their phone, almost like if you would hold a book up in front of you. And that puts your head in a much better position than resting your phone down on your lap or down in your hands in your lap where your head is looking down. That creates a lot more stress.
We're wrapping up the episode, so the last question I have for you, Dr. Rothman, has to do with tech neck treatments. What are the top treatments that you prescribe to your patients who are enduring?
With tech neck treatments, you want to focus firstly on your body mechanics, right? So no matter what treatment you're getting from either physical therapist or a chiropractor or a massage therapist to help with musculature, if you're not changing your actual ergonomics or how you're positioned, everything that the treatment is going to try to do is going to be undone by you very quickly as you reverse everything that's being done, right? So it's important for patients to understand and be educated as to really what's happening with them, because my understanding and my finding clinically is when patients really understand what's happening with their body, they're going to be a lot more compliant in doing things that I want them to do at home. Because there's a goal, right? And there's a common goal that the patients understand. So doing some chiropractic treatment is extremely effective. Physical therapy, doing massage work as well. A home exercise program involving stretching and exercises for the neck. Using TheraBands that you can do at home as well. This is not expensive stuff. Stuff you can get at any pharmacy or health store or doing things of that nature will help. And again, changing your posture, understanding how posture works and making sure that you're doing the right thing using your vitality mnemonic.
All right. What an interview. Thank you, Dr. Rothman, for lending your time and squeezing me into your tight schedule to bring your tech neck knowledge to the forefront.
Well, that was a great interview, and I'm looking forward to seeing you right back at the office.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope that this one provided you with a lot of valuable information that is relevant to this day and age. If you are interested in seeing and receiving more educational information, you can follow us on Instagram, where we post between 3 to 7-ish posts, 7 at the most, per day. I do a lot of lives on there, like live Instagram stories, with doctors from all over the country that specialize in whatever we're studying in this topic of the week. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletters, which I send out only, you know, once a week with the episode when that gets released. All right, I hope to see you guys next week, and thanks again for tuning in. Bye.